Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Delinquency is not something that belongs exclusively to any one age of life. And even though we hear much of juvenile delinquency, this is but one area of delinquency. The young, the old, male, female, all are subject to this spiritual malady. But in nearly every instance, it follows a pattern that is similar, if not identical, in each case. Apostasy, falling away, becoming delinquent, does not occur in just a quick, unexpected moment, except in very rare cases, if at all. It is rather a gradual and slow process that culminates in delinquency. Fortunately, not all who go astray are content to remain in such a sinful state, and they find their way back to their first love. And the way back, like the process of turning away, it does not usually occur in a moment, although it can. But it also follows an observable process and pattern. There is a series of steps that one takes that leads him from God, and there's a series of steps that he takes to come back home. Our lesson shall focus on the familiar biblical account that reveals to us and shows to us and warns us of the process toward delinquency, but also shows us God's way back home. Luke 15 tells us, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living." The account begins with one son wanting to escape from parental authority and to go where he could live as he wanted. He was like so many people today who think that happiness is found in doing your own thing. No longer would he permit anyone to offer him direction. Mistakenly thinking himself capable of directing his own steps, he wanted to launch out on his own before he was mature enough to handle it. It was obvious that the son suffered from the disease of self-will. His demand was, "Give me." He wanted what he thought was coming to him, and he wanted it now. He manifested an attitude that was possessive and grasping and having little concern for others, wanting prematurely what would eventually be his. And his responsibility to the father or even to his older brothers seemed to escape him completely. He had his own plans. He sought his own ambition. He concentrated entirely on himself. He wanted the leave of home. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Now here was the separation from the father. It was altogether his own decision and his own actions. He did not wish to remain even in the same country as his kin. He went into a strange land some distance from home, cutting his ties, going among people that were strangers to him, leaving those that loved him, abandoning the stabilizing influences of his heritage. Staying nearby would not satisfy his desire to exercise himself as he wished. It would not be compatible with his selfishness and his self-will. His desire for personal freedom took him into environments for which he was not qualified to handle. And Scripture says, "And there wasted his substance with riotous living." And the word translated riotous means profligate, without any sense of principles and lacking of moral standards or religious restraints. It was a life that was shameless and wicked. And as a self-willed young man who was intent upon his own satisfaction, removing himself from potential restraints on his behavior that would come from people who knew him and loved him, and with a pocket full of money but a head empty of good judgment and principle, he entered into a riotous lifestyle. How many times we see this replayed even in our own day. We read on. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine." Now this young man soon ran through all his money. He really lived it up. Without thinking of the need to resupply himself, he soon found himself totally without, and the need for income hit him with full force. His lack of ability and preparation for this circumstance is seen in the kind of work he was required to take. for a Jew to feed swine was about as degrading as could occur. Swine were among the unclean animals to the Jews anyway. He was not even able to earn enough to feed himself. He ate what the swine ate. He lost his fair-weather friends that he possibly had made during his fleeing at a riotous life. He entered into a personal financial depression and brought on by his own mistakes and his low living. And he was the living example of Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This person brought himself to a low level. He took himself into degradation. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Even though he was now making some effort in the swine field, he could not earn enough to supply himself. He would even desire to eat the food that the swine ate. He had descended the ladder about as far down as he could go. What a tragedy if the story had ended there. And with many people, this is where the story ends. They follow the pathway of apostasy. They sink to the lowest level, and they never rise again. And there they meet death. And from that point they go to face God in judgment. Their guilt and shame and disgraceful behavior accompanies them into eternity, all because they preferred to satisfy their appetites of the flesh and the worldly mind rather than to give heed to that which is far better. But the story does not end here for this man. Even though he foolishly followed the way of delinquency, he made a comeback. He returned to the high road, and he recovered. He learned the high price of low living, and he humbled himself and was ultimately exalted. Notice what he did, and please note the reaction of his father. His recovery began in his heart. He realized his state. Scripture says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" Now, he was not jealous of his father's servants. He simply realized how foolish he had been to leave that which had adequate supply for him and to seek that which had brought his ruin. And friend, before anyone makes improvements, he has to see the need of improvements. He must recognize certain realities and open his eyes to things as they are. This man in his deplorable state, he knew had become a misfit, that he was misplaced. He evaluated himself fairly and was grieved at what he discovered. And so it is with people in sin. Nobody ever turns to the Lord who considers everything well with them. Unless and until each one of us comes to the state of realization of our lost condition, we will never make the effort needed to be saved from it. But the next step he takes is also a matter of the heart, and that is genuine repentance. He said, "I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Repentance is not sorrow, but repentance is provoked by a godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. He was sorry for his showing and for his conduct. This motivated him to change his mind and decide to return home. His repentance later produces the fruit of repentance in a reformed life. If this lad had just been sorry and stayed sorry and not allowed his sorrow to lead him to change his mind, his sorrow would have been for naught. But he realized his state and he repented. He changed his heart. He changed his mind. He was ready to admit, "I have sinned, I have been wrong, I have done evil." And following his realization and his repentance, he follows his resolve. He had the sentiment like the song expresses, "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights." His repentance and resolution led him to his next step, and that was actually returning. The Bible says he arose and came to his father. Good resolutions are made sometimes, but they're not always carried out. But this person carried out his good resolution, and it must have been a hard road back for him to travel. It must have been a humiliating experience to come back in such a poor condition, and all of it due to his own folly and his own sin. With regret in his heart, shamed by his own conduct, battered by the certain wages of sin, but wiser, and with a faint glimmer of hope that things would be better back home, he started toward his father. And things had not gone as he had expected. They had not happened like he had planned. Now he knew firsthand what it meant to sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Nobody could tell him before he left. Nobody had to tell him now. But with bravery and courage, humility and a genuinely penitent spirit, he comes back along the same road he had taken to leave, only this time he's going in the right direction. And that which awaited him was reconciliation. There was more awaiting him than he could have dared to expect. Now he knew what he deserved. And he was willing to be just a hired servant, even though he didn't even deserve that. He recognized his own unworthiness. He did not expect such a restoration into the good favor of his loving father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Friend, the real hero of this story is the forgiving father. The impression we get is that the father must have been longing and looking for him when his son would come to himself and allow his training to come to the foreground. And he saw him coming even when he was afar. Cannot we conclude that the father was wanting him to come home? And the wonderful point in the story is the action of the son when they met. He had not only resolved to admit his wrong, but said just exactly to the father what he intended to say to the father. The son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But please notice, the father would hear no more. The son's request to be just a servant was never heard because the father interrupted. The son was reclothed. The father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." The son was restored to his place in the family. He was made as he had been. Tattered, dirty, the disgraceful garments were replaced with shoes and a robe and a ring of distinction. He was accepted, not as a hired servant, but as a son come home. He was back in his former state, even though he didn't deserve it. The son had become the object of an unearned and unmerited love and grace from his merciful father. And how like this it is with us when we come to the Father of heaven and enjoy his forgiveness of our sins. And following the son's realization of his evil condition, and his repentance and resolve in his actual return, and there was the great reconciliation in being reclothed again, there was rejoicing. There was a great celebration for the good reason. The father commanded, "Bring forth the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry." And why? "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now the fact that all did not rejoice is another account and another study. But our lesson will conclude with this passage. But are we not able to see that these two paths, one leading in one direction, one leading in the other? Cannot we see how our self-will and selfishness and desire to go our own way with disregard for others, a lack of gratitude for our blessings, the appetites of a worldly and sinful sort, can't we see how that takes us away from the Father above? And can't we see what a low level we bring upon ourselves with this kind of living? And are we not able to see the steps that lead us home again? And more than this, cannot we see the kind of Father that we have? Let each ask himself, on which road am I traveling? Which direction am I going? Oh, it makes a difference, does it not? If you have been with the Father and have left, please consider these heavenly and spiritual thoughts and come back to Him. God wants you with Him, and He beckons, "Come home." This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.